Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's an interesting book with a really interesting subject. And this fascinates me. But this is a subject I don't think we've got control over, but we're going to find out. It's called Waking the Giant. It's by Bill McGuire. Hello, Bill.
Hello there.
It's about earthquakes, tsunamis, which, before we start talking about the book, I've got to ask this question straight away. Have we any control? Can we do anything about it?
Well, in terms of natural hazards in general, I think the key thing is always, first of all, try and figure out how to get early warnings of these things. And secondly, if you can do that, you need to work out how you can get messages to people so they can get out of the way. I think in basic terms, that's how we solve the problems. But, you know, we're increasingly seeing more and more people dying as a result of earthquakes and tsunamis and volcanic eruptions and these sorts of things. And because there are more of us around, the more of us living in places where these sorts of things are threats, then, you know, the picture doesn't look that rosy.
Bill, what made you write the book?
Well, the book looks at a sort of special situation. It looks at how climate change can actually trigger geological events like earthquakes, tsunamis, and volcanic eruptions. Now, that's something that sounds insane. How can what happens in the atmosphere and the oceans actually affect the solid Earth? But if we look back in time, particularly to the last ice age and the period afterwards, we have huge amounts of evidence for how the climate and the solid Earth actually interact. And so the climate change is going to be deadly serious in future decades and future centuries. But it's not all about the world getting hotter. There are all these other responses and unexpected events that are likely to occur as a result.
Are we causing these problems ourselves?
Well, in the sense that human activities are producing greenhouse gases which are causing climate change, yes, we are.
Now, it's interesting that the book comes out now. We've just had up here in the north of England major problems over fracking starting again, which people say is very dangerous. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, fracking has been linked, and rightly so, with small earthquakes. It's not really surprising if you pump high-pressure water down, fluids down into the crust, and you set off explosions, that you're going to cause movements in the crust that are going to generate earthquakes. But these are going to be small. You're not going to get major earthquakes in places like the northwest of the UK as a result of this. But I still have a huge problem with fracking, and that is that it's designed to extract gas and designed for so that we can burn that gas, produce more greenhouse gases and warm the planet up even further. So, you know, I'm completely against any development of hydrocarbons. We should be putting all our focus on renewables and really leaving this stuff in the ground.
The book is called Waking the Giant. Aren't the giants being woken anyway? Isn't it part of evolution? Doesn't the Earth change every 1,000 years or something?
Well, the Earth 4.6 billion years old. It's, you know, it's changed in all sorts of ways throughout its history. But the changes that are being brought about by human-induced greenhouse gas emissions over the last 200 years are unprecedented. I mean, the world will probably warm more in a couple of hundred years from the Industrial Revolution till the end of this century than it did in the previous 20,000 years. Carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere resulting from human activities are now higher than they've been for 15 million years. The ocean is becoming more and more acid because it's having to absorb this carbon dioxide. It's doing that at a rate greater than at any time in the last 300 million years. These are unprecedented times, and human activities are underpinning all these changes.
Bill, I do an interview once a week with a lady in Hollywood, which I do on a Tuesday night. And every week she reports that there's been tremors.
Well, it's not surprising in Hollywood. I mean, California is one of the most seismically active parts of the planet. Now, what my book's about is how climate change is able to drive earthquakes in places where you've had great thicknesses of ice, and then the ice melts, it reduces a load on the crust, and faults underneath are able to move more easily. And these sorts of situations, or where sea levels rise dramatically, and that puts pressure on the crust around the margins of the oceans, and that again allows faults to move or promotes volcanoes to erupt. But, you know, the idea is not that all earthquake activity, volcanic activity we see today is a result of climate change, because it isn't. This is a In parts of the world like California, this is an everyday thing. So it's nothing. That's nothing unusual. And Hollywood would normally shake, I think, every week pretty much.
Were you shocked at the tsunami and also at Japan?
Well, certainly the Indian Ocean tsunami and its impact was very, very shocking indeed. I mean, it's what I call probably the first global geophysical event we've seen, because it affected people from something like 70 different countries, a big tourist resource and this sort of thing. And it really demonstrated this staggering power of a tsunami, terrible things, almost impossible to get away from if you're caught out in the open. But what's really extraordinary is that the earthquake that triggered that, which is a huge earthquake, magnitude 9, we've seen three of those earthquakes now, one in Japan, the one in the Indian Ocean, one in Chile, in the last 7 years. We normally only see one of those every 50 years. And nobody knows why we have this cluster. It could be just statistical. There's no evidence that climate's driving this in any way, because higher sea levels, and sea levels are going up at the moment, should stabilize these faults, not make them move more, these particular ones. So, you know, nobody really has a clue what's going on, but it is very, very unusual to see all these very, very large earthquakes happening, you know, just a couple of years apart.
Now, you mentioned melting ice before. How big a problem is the North Pole and South Pole?
Well, the Greenland ice sheet is 2 to 3 kilometers thick. If all that ice melts, and it's accelerating and pumping out an extra 36 billion tons of water every year now, year on year, if and when the whole Greenland ice sheet melts, global sea levels will rise 7 meters, 20 feet or so. West Antarctica, if the West Antarctic ice sheet, when that melts, you'll add another 4 or 5 meters. There are a lot of climate scientists who think we may only have 10 to 30 years to prevent the melting of these big ice sheets. In other words, if we don't take serious action to cut emissions, global greenhouse gas emissions, within that time frame, or whatever we do after that, those ice sheets will go. And ultimately, we will have sea levels rising 10 meters, 30 feet or more at some point in the future.
A lot of my listeners, like myself, will be confused, because we get told by one person who's an expert that it is happening, by another person, an expert, that it isn't happening. Do you understand the public are confused?
Well, I do, but I have to disagree with you there. You will get told by virtually every single climate scientist on the planet that this is a terrible catastrophe in waiting. You will get told by people who, virtually to a man, are not climate scientists. They are not experts. I mean, probably the most prominent climate change denier in the UK is Nigel Lawson, the former Chancellor with no scientific background at all. These people are ideological, have ideological views of the world in which human activities driving change does not fit. They are neoliberals, neoconservatives with no science. So you find me a mainstream climate change, climate science expert who says that climate change is not caused by human activities, and I will eat my hat if I have a hat.
Now, you were a member of the UK Government Natural Hazard Working Group, which was established in 2005. Did that help the situation, or was that just to sugarcoat over the problem?
Well, the idea of that was to pinpoint on the planet those areas where there is the potential for further huge catastrophes like the Indian Ocean tsunami, particularly ones that can affect more than one country. And we recommended in our report that there should be an international science panel set up to establish where these problematic areas are, these really high-risk areas. Now, the United Nations thought that was a great idea, so they took it on board in 2005, and nobody's heard anything since. So, you know, that still needs to be done. But sadly, it's just disappeared into the machinery of this huge organisation and not come out the other side.
Bill, will people be disturbed at this book?
First of all, I hope that they're just fascinated by it in terms of the way in which the solid Earth interacts with all the other different elements of our planet and just builds a picture of how extraordinary the Earth is. They should be concerned that the bad things that are going to happen as a result of climate change will also be added to by perhaps further earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and these sorts of things. But I think the bottom line is climate change is going to be catastrophic. It's going to be all-pervasive. If we continue to take no action, every single person on this planet will be affected by it. And to be absolutely honest, if you have a few more earthquakes and a few more volcanic eruptions, it's not going to make a huge amount of difference. The situation is going to be pretty appalling anyway.
So what can people do? The Joe Public, who are listening now, what can they do? You've painted a really scary picture. What can they do?
Well, the first thing they can do is to accept that climate change is a building catastrophe that is caused by human activities. That's the first thing they can do. The second thing they can do, obviously, is that they can take personal action to try and reduce their their greenhouse gas output, if you like. And I mean, one point to make here is that you could do almost anything, to reduce your production of greenhouse gas in terms of recycling and not driving as much and all this sort of thing. But if you take one flight a year, that negates everything else that you've done. So, you know, one of the big polluters is really flying. Personally, people can only do so much. What they really need to do is to vote in a government, or the government which they think is going to be the greenest and that they think is going to take the most urgent action on climate change, both in the UK and also pushing for urgent action worldwide. That's the other thing they need to do. So accept this as human induced. Take personal responsibility for your own greenhouse gas emissions. And thirdly, get a government in there that's going to actually take serious action and push the world to do the same.
It's interesting you say that the climate change, human activity has caused it, but wasn't human activity that caused the Ice Age, was it? And some of the other changes that we've had over the centuries?
Well, I don't understand why people bring this up.
The Earth... Sorry, why shouldn't I bring it up?
Well, because the Earth, you know, as I've said earlier, the Earth is a naturally varying system. We see changing climates, we see all sorts of things happening all the time. But in this particular occasion, we know that it's human activities. There's only in the last two centuries a couple of ways in which you can actually push up global temperatures as we're seeing it. One is increased solar activity, and in fact the sun is now quieter than it's been for 100 years. So it's nothing to do with that. The second thing is by increasing the gases in the atmosphere that keep the Earth warm, these greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, methane, etc. Human activities have pushed those up by 40% in the last 200 years. There is no other explanation, and there is no other explanation for how quickly this is happening either.
One thing that bothers me, and I don't understand it, and I'm sure you're going to put me on the right track over this one, which I'll be pleased about. We take from the ground oil and gas. We've taken so much. What is left? Is there a hole? Does it fill up?
Well, the oil and gas is contained in the pore spaces within sediment, or the cracks and the fractures within sediment. So there isn't a great big hole full of this stuff. It's contained all around all the different particles in the sediment, and it forms a sort of connected matrix of liquid or gas, if you like. And when these things, when drills penetrate that, the oil comes out. It's sucked out, but there isn't a giant hole full of oil or gas.
I'm so glad you put me in the picture over that one. What does the book conclude?
Well, really, what I've just been saying, that that climate change is going to be, without serious action now, is going to be catastrophic for our race, for ecosystems across the planet. And that on top of that very, very serious impact, we will, if we carry on the way we are, we will see more in terms of a hazardous geological response as well. And so, you know, ultimately, it's still a call to arms that we have to act now. We have no time left in terms of slashing greenhouse gas emissions. And it's probably worth mentioning at this point that in 2010, global greenhouse gas emissions went up 6%. Now, that's with the global economy bumping along the bottom. If the global economy picks up, if and when it picks up, those emissions are going to go through the roof if we don't take serious action now.
How can they buy the book, Bill?
Well, you can buy it at, as they say, any good bookshop, or you can buy it online. It's available everywhere. There may be a little bit of trouble at the moment because it's being reprinted already, so there might be a slight delay, but you should be able to buy it pretty much anywhere.
I don't want to be cheeky by saying this, but with it being a lovely book and an awful lot of paper, are you not helping to destroy the planet with taking so many trees down?
Well, I sadly, I don't think my book is going to be that much of a bestseller. It would be nice. It would be nice, but there can't be that many trees involved.
Bill McGuire, the book is called Waking the Giant. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show, Late Night City, with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.